right. Well, good morning, everyone. Please turn in your Bible with me to Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 3. Ruth is the eighth book of the Old Testament. It was Joshua, Judges, Ruth. We, as a church, we've entered into 21 days of fasting and prayer, and we've completed 1 week already of the 21 days. How's it going so far? Amen. Some grumpy faces looking at me right there. Keep at it. This is something that we do every year at King's Corner Church. And last week we handed out this handout. It's our fasting and prayer guide, if you will, for this 21 days. It has 9 specific types of fast outlined here in the Bible. It has a prayer guide. It has a Bible reading plan as well. If you didn't get this, there's some at the information desk. Just while that's happening, I just want to share a story that I read this week. This is a true story. This is absolutely a true story. This recently happened. There was a bar called Drummond's in Mount Vernon, Texas. And they began construction on an expansion for their building because they wanted to grow their business. This bar wanted to grow their business. They started this big expansion construction project. But a Southern Baptist church that was down the road, they started to campaign against this. They didn't want this bar to grow and expand in their neighborhood, so they decided to petition. They decided to begin a fast and a prayer time. And about 1 week before its grand opening, a bolt of lightning struck the bar and it completely burned to the ground. Okay. Now, after that had happened, the church members were pretty proud of themselves. And they were a little smug about it. And they were kind of bragging about it. And the bar owner got wind of this in the community. And he was furious. So the bar owner sued the church. This is a true story. This recently happened. The bar owner sued the church. And the claim was, that the church was ultimately responsible for the demise of his building through direct or indirect means. That was the official claim from the bar owner. And then the church strongly denied anything to do with this church burning, with this bar burning down. And so now it's before the judge, and the judge reads through the plaintiff's complaint and reads through the defendant's reply. And this is how he opened the hearing. This is exactly what he said. He said, "I don't know how I'm going to decide this. But it appears from the paperwork that what we have here is a bar owner who now believes in the power of prayer and an entire congregation that doesn't." That's a true story. That actually happened. And I say all that to say this. Aren't you so glad that you belong to a church that believes in the power of fasting and prayer? Amen? Amen? How many of you are expecting big things? I mean big things from God during this 21 days. Amen. If you're not, you should be. Because we serve a big God. Is that true? Please hear this. God can change the circumstance. God can change the heart. God can heal. God can deliver. And God can save. When the disciples in Matthew chapter 19, the disciples are talking to Jesus, and they're saying, Jesus, who can be saved? Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. So expect and believe and trust that God is going to do amazing things in these 21 days. Just for those of you who weren't here last week we talked about how fasting and prayer helps us to regain our edge as believers. We all sometimes lose our edge, don't we, as believers? We do. And we talked about how we're going to be much more effective and be able to do a lot more if we're empowered by the Holy Spirit and not trying to do things on our own strength. Is that true? We also talked about how we need the wind from elsewhere. Amen? The same wind that the disciples experienced in the upper room to sweep away all the pollution that's in our minds and our hearts and our lives and our marriages and our churches. Just sweep it away. To free us from sin and bondage. To sweep away all the strife in our relationships, all the bitterness and the resentment and unforgiveness, that we need that wind from elsewhere to make us alive again, that He can revive our passion for God and the things of God, that He can bring dead and dry bones to life. How many of you have a personal testimony that God can bring dead and dry bones to life? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is why we do this, is because we need the Holy Spirit. February 4th is 2 weeks from today. It's the end of our 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. And what we do every year is we provide an opportunity during the service for testimony time, okay, of what God has done during your 21 days of prayer and fasting. We want to hear. We want to hear. Nothing is too small. When God, whatever God does, we want to hear it. Okay? So I just want to encourage you to remember that. This week, I want to talk about Ruth and Boaz a little bit. And I want to talk about making ourselves ready for the bridegroom. You know, I've been praying this week that during this time of our fasting and our prayer, that every one of us is going to experience a new, a deeper, an intimate, a heart-transforming, and a life-changing encounter with Jesus. That's my prayer for us. That's what I want us to experience, the kind of thing that's going to completely change our relationship with God, completely. The kind of thing that's going to set the course for our prayer life. The kind of encounter that's going to make us turn off the TV and turn off the things and turn away from the things that have become a priority or a distraction for us. That's the kind of experience I want us to have. That's going to make us turn away from those things and turn to God. That's going to make us want to be in the presence of God. The kind of encounter that's going to give us a thirst for the river of life. Amen? And I just really believe that if we humble ourselves and we choose to fast and pray, that we can each have that experience, that encounter with Jesus. And just like the bride prepares to meet with her bridegroom, we as the church, how many of you know that we're the bride? And there are things that we can do to prepare to meet with our bridegroom, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? In Ruth chapter 3, God shows us three specific things that we can do that's going to help us experience that new, that deeper, that intimate, that heart transforming, that life-changing encounter with Jesus. Okay, so go ahead. Let's look at Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Ruth is preparing to present herself here to Boaz. It's a beautiful picture of the church, the bride, presenting herself to Jesus, the bridegroom. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not look for security and a home for you so that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, with whose maids you were working, is he not our relative? Now see, he is winnowing barley at the threshing floor tonight. So wash and anoint yourself with oil, then put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But stay out of the man's sight until he's finished eating and drinking." And verse 4, "When he lies down, notice the place where he's lying and go uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what to do." Ruth answered her, "I will do everything that you say." Hallelujah. That sounds intimate, doesn't it? Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for this word. God, I thank you, God, for everything that you've done and everything that you're going to do during this time of fast and prayer. God, I pray that we're going to humble ourselves. I pray that we're going to draw close to you. God, I pray that we're going to have that encounter with Jesus that we've never had before. Whether we've been a believer for 6 months or 60 years, we're just going to go deeper in you than never before. And God, I just pray that we're going to be able to hear your voice today. But God, I pray that we're going to respond to your word today in Jesus' name. Help us to respond to your word. There's nothing I'm saying today that most of us have not heard before, but it's about our hearts and it's about our response, God. So I pray that we're going to respond. I pray that we're going to open our heart. I pray that we're going to hear your voice. I pray that we're going to be moved by your word today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Spirit of God, all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the first thing that Ruth does in preparation to meet the bridegroom is verse 3, Ruth chapter 3 and verse 3, where it says, "So wash and anoint yourself with olive oil." So the first step is wash and anoint ourselves. Okay? Now let me just talk to some of the married women for a minute. Some of the married women. On the day of your wedding, okay, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you wash yourself? Did you get cleaned up a little bit? Did you use some soap and maybe put some deodorant on? Did you wash yourself? Did you prepare to meet the bridegroom? Or did you kind of just wake up and show up? How'd that go? Okay, of course you did. Of course you did. Right? So this is the first step, to wash and anoint ourselves. Okay? If we want to draw near to Jesus during this time of fasting and prayer and have that communion with him with no obstacles, with nothing preventing us from having that perfect communion with Jesus Christ, then we need to cleanse the temple. Are you with me? Okay? So first of all, I want you to please hear me, okay? In Christ, you are the righteousness of God. Did everybody catch that? In Christ, you are the righteousness of God. That's your identity in Christ. That's your position in Jesus. When you invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you are the righteousness of God. That's who you are. Okay? And because of your position and because of your identity in Jesus, Every one of us has a blood-bought right to go into the presence of God because of who you are, because of your position in Jesus Christ. And here's what I need you to hear. None of that changes when we sin. None of that changes when we sin. And this is the part that I think we misunderstand and get confused with. Okay? That you can leave here today and you can lose your temper and you can lie and cheat and steal and give someone the old number one on the way to Swiss Chalet after service. Okay? But your position in Christ, your position, your identity is still the righteousness of God. That's who you are. It doesn't change with that sin. Okay? So I forget to pick my kids up at school one day. I'm still their dad. My position hasn't changed. I made a mistake. Okay? One or several times. But I'm still their dad. I'm still their dad. My position, my identity hasn't changed because I've made a mistake. Okay, that is for someone. I know that's for someone here. And it's very important for us to know that, because what happens is the enemy is going to come. He's going to try and throw your past back in your face. And you say, no, 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 no. Shut up, devil. You are messing with the righteousness of God. And no sin and no guilt and no condemnation is ever going to change that. You are the righteousness of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the righteousness of God. Everybody say, I am the righteousness of God. Okay, and there's no but to that, but we also have to understand, okay, that there are consequences when we sin. We need to understand that. Right? You're the righteousness of God, but there's going to be consequences when you sin. Okay? So if we choose to live in unforgiveness, and live in selfishness, and live in lust, and live in these things, etc., 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 then we can't always expect to see the same move of God in our life as if we are living free from those things. Okay? We can't expect to live in the victory of the cross and the finished works of Jesus Christ if we're living in sin. I'm not talking about making mistakes. I'm talking about a choice to live in sin, to tolerate sin in your life. We can't expect to, and this is the worst consequence, we can't expect to have that perfect communion with Jesus Christ until we cleanse the temple. We got to cleanse the temple, right? We got to be clean, okay? Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 15 to 16 says, when you spread out your hands, so God's saying when you're reaching out to me in prayer and you're calling on me, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. We need to wash ourselves. How do we do that? How do we wash ourselves? I think the answer is in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, hallelujah, of all unrighteousness. How do we wash ourselves? We confess. The work has already been done. We don't have to work for our forgiveness. We don't have to work to wash ourselves. The work's already been done. All we have to do is confess. Say, God, I confess this selfish attitude. I confess this unforgiveness. God, clean me. Clean me. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, in him we have redemption. That is our deliverance and salvation through his blood, which paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sin in accordance with the riches of his grace. Our forgiveness has already been accomplished through the blood of Jesus Christ. So now what happens is when we confess our sin, God washes us clean with the blood of Jesus. The only thing that's able to clean us on the inside. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All we do is confess our sin and God washes us clean with the blood of Jesus. We're supposed to wash and, it says, anoint ourselves. So Ruth is being instructed to be anointed. It's actually to be fragrantly anointed. Some of your translations might say perfume. Put perfume on. Does anyone, any of your translations say that? So it's to be anointed or to be fragrantly anointed, to put on perfume. This was their perfume. If you're going to be with the bridegroom, you need to be fragrantly anointed. You need to smell good. I think that's important when a bride and a bridegroom come together, that they smell good. I think that makes sense. How many of you know that Jesus already smells good? Amen? So now we need to also smell good. Okay? And this is exactly what happens when we fast and we pray, is God anoints us. Okay? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27 helps us to understand what this anointing is. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Well, as a believer in Jesus Christ, who abides in you? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. Hallelujah. Okay? In the Bible, whenever something was washed, okay, whenever the blood had washed, the anointing would then be applied. Okay? They'd first wash the priest, and then the anointing would be applied. Wherever the blood was applied, the anointing was drawn there. It's just like the miracle that happens at regeneration. When you invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, he washes you clean with the blood of Jesus, and then what happens? It's the miracle of the Holy Spirit. God himself comes and lives inside of you. Whatever's been washed in the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit and the anointing are drawn there. Hallelujah. And now you smell good. The Holy Spirit is what gives us the fragrance of Christ. The Holy Spirit in us and on us is the incense, the perfume of God. How many of you know that the Bible says that we are the aroma of Christ? It's the Holy Spirit that makes us smell that way. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit fragrantly anoints us. So what happens is, the more of the Holy Spirit in us, the better we smell. The more you spend time in the presence of God and getting filled up with the Spirit of God, the better you smell. the more you smell like Christ. So we enter into this time of consecrated prayer and fasting, and we spend time in the presence of God, in His Word. The Holy Spirit anoints us, fills us with Him, fills us with His power, fills us with His love, fills us with His presence. And now you smell good. Hallelujah. If you want to be near to Jesus, cleanse and anoint yourself. So during the time of prayer and fasting, we confess our sin. We get filled with the Holy Spirit in the presence of God, and we come into a deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound great? Hallelujah. That's number one. Wash and anoint yourself. Number two, in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, put on your best clothes. See, what we need to understand here is that Ruth was a widow. Her husband died. She was still wearing clothes of a mourning widow. So Naomi's telling her she needs to change her clothes, because her clothes represent death and sorrow and pain and hurt, defeat and discouragement. And that might be describe someone here today. That you might be hurting, and you might be in sorrow, and you might be discouraged. But God wants to give you new clothes. Isaiah chapter 61, it says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Please hear this on this fast. If that's you, if you're hurting and you're in sorrow, God wants to give you beauty for ashes. He wants to give you beauty in your life where there's sorrow. He wants to give you the oil of joy. He wants to give you Holy Spirit supernatural joy. He wants to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He wants to make you light again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He wants to give you a new song. Some of you have been singing the song of mourning for a long time. Psalm 40 verse 3 says, He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. How many of you know that God inhabits the praises of His people? Is that right? God inhabits the praises of His people. He wants to put garments of praise on you because He wants to commune with you. When we start to praise, we start to draw near to Jesus. And you know what the truth is we've all been given new clothes. We used to be dead in sin. We used to be dead in sin. Is that true? We used to be broke, busted, and disgusted. That's what my favorite preacher always says. But God's given us new clothes to wear. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Hallelujah. God replaced our robes of sin and death. We no longer wear hopelessness. We no longer wear defeat. We no longer wear death anymore. But in Jesus, you look good. God's given us new clothes. You're wearing garments of salvation and robes of righteousness. In Jesus, you smell good and you look good. Hallelujah. I want you to say that to your neighbor. I want you to say, You look good. Go ahead. I'll wait. Okay, now I want you to say that to your second choice, the other neighbor. You look good. Okay, that's enough. Now we can greatly rejoice. See, now we can enter into his presence with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Right? No matter what the circumstances we have, okay, we all have reason to give God praise. If we want to meet with the bridegroom, we need to start changing our words. We need to stop saying doom and gloom, and we got to start speaking glory and hallelujah. Amen? Because God does not inhabit the complaining of his people, but God inhabits the praises of his people. Someone once said one of the greatest things that you can do in your prayer life is take out the moans and groans and put in some hallelujahs. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So number one, we need to wash and anoint ourselves. Number two, we need to put on that garment of praise. And number three, talks about it in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5. When he lies down, this is the instruction Ruth gets from Naomi. When he lies down, notice the place where he's lying and go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what to do. See, in Jewish culture, in Jewish tradition, when someone did this, when they uncover their feet and then they lie at their feet, okay, that is considered an act of submission. She's putting her face at his feet. She's essentially bowing at his feet. This is what we do when we fast. We're humbling ourselves. We're bowing down at the feet of Jesus, right? There's no more sacred place on earth than at the feet of Jesus. There's no other more sacred place. Okay, when we do that, when we submit to him, when we bow to him, when we surrender to him, it's like we're saying, Lord, I fully commit my life to you again. My will surrenders to your will. My dreams submit to your dreams. I want my desires, God, to be your desires. I want you to be sitting on the throne of my life. God, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. You want me to go to the left? I'm going to go to the left. You want me to go to the right? I'm going to go to the right. Right? This is what we need to do in our fasting, in our prayers. We're surrendering. We're bowing. We're submitting. Not my will, God, but your will be done. All of you and none of me. See, the truth is that every one of us is full of something. Every one of us, we're full of something. We're full of God or we're full of self. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're full of it. And you know what? I'm going to guess that a lot of times we're full of ourselves. But as we grow in our relationship with God, as we mature as a believer, as God moves us from glory to glory to glory, right, then we start to move from selfishness to love. Some of you are looking at me like, I am not selfish. I resent that you just called me selfish. I'm going to prove that you're selfish. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question and be honest. When you look at a group photo, who's the first person you look at? I rest my case. Not only that, But if you don't think that your picture looks good, even if every other person in the picture looks incredible, you say, oh, don't look at that picture, it's terrible. Why? Because we're selfish. I just proved it to you. We're selfish. Right? Glory to God. But when we surrender to Jesus and we give him the throne of our life, that means we step off the throne. Amen? I think John put it real good when he said in John chapter 3, he must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. In closing, this is a quick one today. In closing, I just want to look at Ruth chapter 3 there again in verse number 18. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. You do your part, and God's going to do his part. What are you believing for during this fast? What are you praying for? What miracle are you expecting? What hearts do you need transformed? You cleanse and anoint yourself. You put on garments of praise. You step off the throne of your life and allow Jesus to step on. And God will not rest until he fulfills his word and his promises in your life. Did you catch that? Hallelujah. That's something to praise God for. God will not rest. You do your part, and God's going to take care of his part. You do your part, and he's going to take care of the rest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to invite our worship team up right now. And we're just going to sing one more song here. And it's just a response song. So during this song, I just encourage you to stand or sit or come into the aisle or come up to the altar or just whatever you want to do. And during this time of responding, I just... let's cleanse and anoint ourselves. Amen. Let's get washed in the blood. Let's get filled up with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's put on the garments of praise. Amen. Let's surrender. Let's bow at the feet of Jesus. Amen. I just pray that you're going to take us to a place that we've never been before in you, in Jesus' name. God, I just pray that each one of us is going to have a desire, a passion to go to that secret place with you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Let us develop a new love, a new appreciation for the presence of God, for the Holy of Holies, in Jesus' name. God, I pray that in that secret place, that we're going to find our identity in you. I pray, God, in that secret place, that we're going to hear your voice clearly, that in that secret place, God, we're going to honor you We're going to love on you. We're going to glorify you. We're going to exalt the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And God, I just pray that each one of us is going to be a sweet fragrance of Christ for you. Hallelujah. Each one of us will be a sweet fragrance for you, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.